quit all this baby bull crying about I'm so insecure in my manhood. If Martha Stewart drains your manhood, you have no manhood to drain.
Listen to Phil Hendry.
Martha Stewart's trying to make me gay, and she's trying to do the same thing to you. And
no, she's not.
You're telling me that you got candles floating in a punch bowl, and you're not, and you don't see that as being gay?
My wife put them in there. I don't know what your damn hang-up is. You got some mental issues. Quit all this baby bull crying about I'm so insecure in my manhood. If Martha Stewart drains your manhood, you have no manhood to drain.
Listen to Phil Hendry.
Martha Stewart's trying to make me gay, and she's trying to do the same thing to you.
You're telling
me that you got candles floating in a punch bowl, and you're not, and you don't see that as being gay?
My wife put them in there. I don't know what your damn hang-up is. You got some mental issues.
If you are listening between 4 and 7 p.m. Pacific Time, you are listening to Premier 1. If you are listening between 7 and 10 p.m. Pacific Time, you are listening to Premier 2. The Phil Hendry Show will begin at 6 minutes past the hour on the Premier Radio Networks. Listening between 4 and 7 p.m. Pacific Time, you are listening to Premier 1. If you are listening between 7 and 10 p.m. Pacific Time, you are listening to Premier 2. The Phil Hendry Show will begin at 6 minutes past the hour on the Premier Radio Networks. Listening between 4 and 7 p.m. Pacific Time, you are listening to Premier 1. If you are listening between 7 and 10 p.m. Pacific Time, you are listening to Premier 2. The Phil Hendry Show will begin at 6 minutes past the hour on the Premier Radio Networks. We'll be right back.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now this about the stock market. It's gone up 970,000 points in the last 3 days. It's going through the roof. Buy. That's my advice. Buy everything. Buy everything. Everything you get your hands on. Even WorldCom. I swear to God, I'd buy WorldCom. 63 cents a share. What a deal. You know they can't stay there. Oh, you mean they're not trading on the New York Stock Exchange anymore? Well, whatever is left, buy it. Buy it. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just telling you to go out, invest. It's big time. The money is there. The stock market is, it's in the green. I mean, there are people that are rolling in the hay, rolling in the streets, jumping out of buildings. Whatever they do when the stock market goes up, they jump out of buildings when it goes down, right? Anyway, all I do is in the morning I get up, I go in, I get cereal, I go, I sit, I look at the TV, and I look at the little red arrows or the green arrows. You like me? I just sort of kind of get an indicator on whether the world is going to fall apart today or not. Do I know anything about it? No. That's the green arrows, honey. It's up 400 points or something. I guess that's good, huh?
Yeah, but it's okay.
No, it's down 250. I guess Bush is a piece of crap. I knew he'd do... No, wait a minute. Now it's back up. Where do we have our money?
Oh, you wouldn't understand.
What do you mean I wouldn't understand?
Just, you know, eat your breakfast and get out of here.
Listen, Maria, I have every right in the world to know how you're investing my money. By the way, you ever want to get on an argument with your wife? Just tell her it's your money instead of our money. Just make that phrase. Just lay that out there. You know, I'd like to know how you're investing my money. Your money. Your money. Because we are married, community property, it's our money. I'm the guy that goes out and brings the check through the door at night, though. I'm the guy, I go out, no, it's our money. Well, what are you doing with it? Because she takes the dough, and then she gives it over to a guy who gives it over to another guy, and all of these guys wear white shirts with glasses, and, hi, Phil, how are you? Just love your program. Who's that guy you do, Rudy, or the guy who goes la, la, la? Is that it, Eddie? Yeah. Fantastic. So how's my portfolio? Well, we took a hit. We took a hit, and here's a little Vaseline. You want to just grease up now? And what we can do, what I would say to you, Mr. Andrews, is go ahead and sit down. Here's some smelling salts. You'll need these. You're just telling me about my show, man. What did you do with my money? So we got an account over with one of these brokerage houses, and we have a guy who takes the bread. Look, if you're married, you got a family. You know, I don't care who you are, man. You got to do something with your money, right? Always remember this. Money's easy to make. Knowing what to do with it is difficult. Do you go ahead and blow it like $15,000 on a birthday party? Do you just drink yourself to death? What do you do with all that money? Do you buy all those big family passes, the California Adventure? Money's an easy thing to make, but you got to know what to do with it. More people have gotten into problems, not because they can't make any bread. They don't know what to do with their bread, right? Now, I ain't saying I know what I'm doing with my money, because, like I say, take a look at my portfolio and the fact that every time I walk in and talk to this guy that's handling our dough, he pours me a drink first. So how's it going, man? Drink? Sure, yeah. Got on this single barrel Jack. What do you think? Yeah. It's like it's 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, what the hell, man? I'm on vacation. Well, how's it going, man? What's up? We took it in the shorts just a tiny bit. You don't mind that, do you? Just a little poke, huh? Just a... Yeah, I think I do. Yeah, I bought you some shares in some company. I don't know what. So we get it every month, and I look at the thing. I don't know what I'm doing. Maria's the one. She controls every nickel. She's got it in savings. She put it into a retirement fund because we have a company, which is what you should do. You should incorporate. That way you can shelter your money, etc. And then we have money, and that's it. Then we have our house. I haven't got anything else, anything other than that. And you talk about trust. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Am I right or am I wrong? You see, people love to talk about trust in a marriage. Oh, you know, if you're married, you have to trust them. Yes. Do you really? Do you trust your wife? I'll go around the room here, and you at home, you can play along. Do you trust your wife? Let's bring in some guys now. Now, Pelton's giving me the big thumbs up, big wink. Oh, yeah, sure I do. Where do you start dropping a few hundred grand on her to invest for you? Then tell me whether you trust her or not. Where do you start making a couple of dollars? In other words, when you're working for another host other than me, and you begin to drop that on her, and she's the one, because women I don't care who they are. Women don't want to let go of the money. Forget it. It's not going to happen. If she's a woman of any kind of intelligence, I don't want to say that unintelligent women don't want to deal with money, but am I correct in stating that women want to have their hands on the dough? And if they don't have their hands on the dough, they'll take a mixing blade. They'll get out their Cuisinart and stick your hand in it. When we got married, Maria started getting tense because I hadn't turned every one of my bills over to her and my checkbook. She was really, within about 3 weeks of our marriage, it was a full-on fist fight. I mean, I was thrown through a plate glass window. The police were there. I was beaten with a bat. All four of the kids came out with hockey sticks, pounded me into a bloody pulp. Why? Because I hadn't said to my wife, "Here, honey, you handle the dough." Women want to, they want to handle the money. And what happens is now that they're handling the money, they're not just paying the bills anymore. Now they got a couple of bright ideas on what to do with the money. Well, we can do it into a retirement. Well, let's buy some real estate. Do you think we ought to buy gold? What do you think, okay? You guys may think that this is all a little screwy, but when you get to be 50, which is, I'm going to be that in about 3 weeks, I got to start thinking about this. Somewhere along the line, in some way, shape, or form, I got to think about what the hell's going to happen to me over the next 15 years. I could care less. I could be out with a, on a street with a cup full of pencils. But I got like four kids now and a wife, and I basically painted myself into a corner. I mean, I'm basically, you know, a family man now. So now she's got all the dough. And every now and again, I, would you mind terribly if I just sort of, what? I just wanted to know where the money is. Yeah. Just can tell me, honey, how much do we have in savings? Well, not as much as I thought. Well, why not? Because I bought that, you know, cabinet. What cabinet? Well, I bought the thing for the house. You know, it's a sofa. It's an $8,000 sofa. I had to take some money out to pay back Nancy. Who's Nancy? She's the designer who helped us with the designer? And what do you think of that chandelier? What's that? It's from an Argentinian hotel. It's 100 years old. Great. So right now, basically what I'm telling you, the stock market's up 450, 500 points. I haven't got a nickel. I'm broke. Thank you, honey. You know I'm kidding. No, do you know I'm kidding? I don't even know whether I'm kidding or not, because I haven't seen one of those little envelopes from Smith Barney yet this month. You get the envelope, you open it up, here's the money you put in, it says, and there'll always be a little minus next to whether you lost the bread or not. And, you know, the last few months, I don't mind telling you, there have been a couple of minuses there. But fortunately, I didn't get my act together enough to really do anything about my future until about a year and a half ago. So I haven't lost a whole lot of dough. I mean, I may be like five G's. I don't know whether that makes any difference or not. You talk to these guys, say, how much money am I going to have when I retire? Who, you? Yeah, oh, like 50 million, man. You'll be, yeah, sure. Yeah, no, man. Everything's going to be, yeah, everything's going to be, what, 50 million? No, really. I mean, with the percentage of the thing and the market and then that, and they go, then the percentage, and here's the real estate, and get some gold, we'll throw it in your portfolio. It's expanded. Do you even know what a portfolio is? I used to think it was something a model carried around with her, and she's got pictures of herself, my portfolio. I'd like to carry that around and open it up in a restaurant. I've got gold and silver and, you know, and here's one of me with nothing on, and that's me bending over, grabbing my ankles, and here's me with gold, and here's me with a gold bar shoved up, and there's... So good luck. 1-800-449-8686. I saw the Austin Powers movie this weekend, and I'm going to tell you all about it, and I don't care whether I spoil it or not. What do you think of that? Coming up, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
So the new Austin Powers movie is called Austin Powers in Gold Member, and the movie starts off very creatively because the film starts as a film within a film. Austin is sitting and he's watching a movie being made about his life, and there's a cameo by Tom Cruise as Austin Powers, and then there's a cameo by Gwyneth Paltrow as one of Austin's sidekicks. Now, I have to be very, very careful in the way I say this, but I believe that I'm within my rights, and I believe that I fall under FCC radar. Her name is Dixie. That's her first name, Dixie. And her last name is Normus. Put them all together, and what do you got? You got that. So Gwyneth Paltrow and Tom Cruise and a cameo by Kevin Spacey as Dr. Evil, and guess who plays Mini-Me? Take a wild guess. Who's a midget actor that's famous? Gary Coleman? No, Danny DeVito. And then the camera pans back and we realize we've been watching a movie about Austin's life, and there's Steven Spielberg sitting there in a director's chair. And Spielberg looks at Austin and says, "So, Austin, what do you think?" And he says, "Well, you know, man, you know, that British voice, you're the grooviest cat, and you're one of the most far-out directors ever. But having said that, I do have a few thoughts." And then Spielberg turns around holding an Oscar and goes, "Yeah, well, my friend here says it's perfect," which is very funny. And then, at least it was when I saw it. I don't know whether I'm communicating in any semblance. And then we launch into the movie. Michael Caine plays a cat by the name of Nigel Powers, who is Austin's father, and he is kidnapped by a guy named Gold Member, who is a 1975 disco owner who's from the Netherlands, and he's got that blonde hair with freckles, and he's constantly peeling, and he's peeling skin off and eating it because, you know, Mike Myers never skimps on the stuff that's going to make you just cringe a little bit. You know, like a guy eating his own skin. And then, of course, Fat Bastard makes an appearance. And that means only one thing, toilet jokes. And then there's a few urine gags that are thrown in. It's a very funny movie. Very funny movie. This is coming from a guy, by the way, who liked the second one, The Spy Who Shagged Me. Everybody I talk to thinks it was nothing. They think it was just a waste of film, a large, putrid mass, just a putrid, dank mung roaming along the floor. But I thought it was good. Now, in this movie, he is kidnapped. Nigel Powers is kidnapped by Goldmember. And by the way, he lost his original member in a smelting accident. So he's got a gold one. And once again, Austin goes into the time machine and goes back this time to 1975. So there's a lot of disco gags. Beyonce Knowles plays this chick who's sort of like Pam Grier in all those blaxploitation detective things. Who is the black detective on TV? Christy Love? Yeah, she's always saying things like, "You're busted, sugar. You're under arrest, sugar." That. And she's cool. She's actually better than I think Heather Graham was or Elizabeth Hurley. Listen to me reviewing this as if it's...
"I believe that many of the film's darker symbols rise from a need by Mr. Myers to exorcise many of the attachments he had to the film business.
It's just a fun movie." Then, Goldmember, and of course Scotty's back, Scotty Evil, and probably the funniest line is where Dr. Evil is standing in front of Scotty and Number Two, played by Robert Wagner, and he says, "And what we will do is we have created a death pod known as Preparation H." And Scotty, of course, goes, "Oh, great, yeah, well, why don't you just call it Ass Cream?" And he says, "Ass Cream? Don't you like Preparation H?" "No, I like Preparation H on the whole." Gags like that continue throughout the film until the climax when... what happens? I don't even know how to think. I think it ends... oh, yeah. Dr. Evil goes good. He goes good, and Austin Powers finds out that Dr. Evil is his brother. Mini-Me changes sides and becomes a miniature Austin Powers with glasses and buck teeth running around. And... oh, then the other gag is, as he's climbing up some stairs, he pulls down Dr. Evil's pants by mistake and looks up and says the following line, "You know, Dr. Evil, I used to think you were crazy, but now I can see you're nuts." And then he looks at the camera and goes, "Oh, thank you." So all in all, it was a blessed afternoon. We took the kids. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing too putrid or rank. If there's one thing the kids are down with, it's all kinds of toilet humor, and there's plenty of that. Fat Bastard makes an appearance, and of course you know that every time Fat Bastard is on a screen, there's going to be some scene with him sitting on a toilet. And we are not disappointed in this edition of Austin Powers. Also, one of the funnier moments is Austin goes into a sumo wrestling locker room, because Fat Bastard now lives in Japan, where Dr. Evil is relocated. and he is doing sumo wrestling on the side. And Austin hides in a laundry bin, which is being rolled in by somebody. So he's hiding in the laundry bin. Well, as he's hiding in the laundry bin and it passes by the lockers of each of these sumo guys, they're tossing in their sumo jock straps. And, of course, the joke is that Austin has to suffer through the malodorous results of breathing this rank, dank, funky laundry until the very last guy is Fat Bastard. He pulls off his jock. He looks at it, and he looks at, and at this point you figure he knows that Austin is in the laundry bin because he looks at who's pushing and says, "Ooh, I think I might have let out a wet one." And then he tosses that in there. Am I ruining this for you, Craig?
I'm not gonna go see it.
Taylor ain't going to go see it. So I thought it was dynamite. Funnier than hell. And my wife is sitting next to me. We took Maria and me and three of the kids. And she's there. Laughing her ass off. And the kids are cringing. I didn't notice it. I was laughing, too. And finally, I get out of the movie theater. They're like, "Good, Mom, what the hell do you think you're trying to do?" What? "Well, just laughing like a hyena." Everything. Well, it's because it was funny. You didn't think it was funny? It was hysterical. Well, don't you laugh? My kids are the only ones I know in the history of the planet that go into a movie, look at it, they think it's hysterical, and they never laughed once. They don't laugh. You know why they don't laugh? Because it ain't cool to laugh. Well, how that ever happened, I can't figure. It ain't cool to laugh. I'm looking at the three of them sort of just sort of muttering little giggles and stuff. Meanwhile, I mean, the I can see your nuts, Dr. Evil line was worth at least a guffaw. Nothing. Nothing. It's not even worth it to take your kids to the movies anymore, man. You're just going to be uncool no matter what you do. But I thought it was very good. I recommend it, and I think it's a family picture. So go see it at a theater near you, okay? Did I ruin it for you? Tough. No, I don't mean to be cruel, but what is the point of going to see a movie and not being able to talk about it on the radio? When I go to see the movie, I saw it, and here's what it was about. And I'm probably leaving a whole lot of stuff out. Oh, there's a fantastic submarine that Dr. Evil creates, and it's the image of him on his stomach with the pinky finger in the side of the mouth. Yeah, and it's a submarine, and it's floating through the... And naturally, when it has to, you know, when like a periscope goes up or when the radar dish goes up, you got it, it comes out of the ass. So all these bubbles appear. And, of course, that, you know, you figure that's the one that's going to get the kids just rolling. Now, that one was just... And so they're in a submarine thing. Now, you know that Frau Krautenheimer, that woman? She's in this thing. Dr. Evil is put into a maximum security prison a la Hannibal Lecter with the glass and all of that. But he says he wants to be transferred to a regular prison. Cut to a Georgia State prison, and he's wearing a do-rag. The cat's wearing a do-rag, and there are about two or three musical numbers that are right. The movie starts with a musical number, and then there is an awesome musical number featuring Dr. Evil and all these inmates of a South Georgia prison. And they're, you know, doing this kind of, it's like a Snoop Doggy-Woggy video. He's got the do-rag, and he's doing this stuff, and then him and Mini-Me are running around, and finally it ends with all five of them having sex. All right, together with one another. 1-800-449-8686. Did I leave anything out? Well, if I did, I'll come back and blow that part of the story for you, too. It's Phil Hendry's show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686.
Vernon Dozier with us from Future Security Systems Consolidated. I hope I'm getting the name of your company right, Mr. Dozier.
That is correct, Phil.
Now, your company, you say that the way security people are handling women's bags now is very insensitive.
That's essentially correct. A lot of women that are traveling have some rather personal items. And we don't think that they should have to be subjected to what they're being subjected to right now.
Well, what is happening when you say personal?
It's they're very, very personal. I don't want to be specific, but they are things that women travel with that are meant for pleasure, if you will. And many of the security personnel at the airports have been insensitive in asking them to take it out of the bag and whatnot. We think that is absolutely uncalled for, and we are shocked and disgusted by the idea that they would do that.
All right, so what is the solution that your company's come up with?
What we've basically said is when you have people working these security stations who see one of these very personal items come through a scanning machine, they're going to make a big deal out of it, and they're going to say, could you stop it, and let's look at it and take the batteries out. At Future Security Systems, as you know, Phil, we've worked for the last 3 years hiring the mentally challenged and the individuals who perhaps could use a hand up in working and helping their country, but they don't get the opportunity because they do have a certain deficiency in the in that department. So we are hiring the mentally deficient to work a lot of these security screening areas away from the other ones.
So as I understand it, it's a two-pronged approach. The items go through first your screening system, and then if there's a personal item, as you say, they'll let them know and they don't have to make a big deal out of it.
That's right.
So what happens when a mentally challenged person, you say, it sees a sex toy?
Well, I didn't call it a sex toy.
I know, but that's what you're intimating.
All right, well, any pleasure device which appears, which more and more women are carrying because it appears more and more men are not able to get the job done, but I guess I don't want to go into that.
No, let's forget that. I mean, just talk about these pleasure toys, or whatever you call them, that women are taking on planes.
Right. First of all, I'd like to bring on Bobby. He's a graduate of our Bobby.
Hi.
You can hear him, Phil. Bobby is...
Hi, Bobby.
Hi.
Bobby is a graduate of our Future Security Systems Consolidated class. I'm going to turn on the... this is a conveyor belt, Phil, and it's just like any conveyor belt you would find in any airport. And
Bye,
Bobby. And you can hear it going. Now, we're going to put some items on here. And Bobby is trained to see whether it is an item that a woman has brought on that's a...
Well, what would you call a very personal item, a pleasure toy of some kind?
That is correct, right.
Hi.
All right, give me the phone. All right, now, Bobby, go over to the belt.
Hi.
Go over to the belt.
When you're dealing with the mentally challenged, it's difficult, it sounds to me...
No, it's go over to the belt.
It sounds to me it's difficult to communicate with them, perhaps?
Go over to the belt. No, it isn't. Go over to the belt.
Hi.
I said hi already. All right, so we're putting some things through, and one of them will be one of these pleasure toys. If you want to call it, I don't know, a sex aid or something. What do you see, Bobby?
That's a jacket. I see a comb. Ride 'em, cowboy. Ride 'em, cowboy.
Let me have the phone. I give him the phone.
What is ride 'em, cowboy?
He thought he saw one of these things. It's not. It's actually eyeliner. So it's
so ride 'em, cowboy is his way of saying that he's just seen one of these pleasure devices.
That's right. Now, unfortunately, come here.
What did you just do?
I have to belt him. I can't let him just get away with that. All right, Bobby, turn it.
Wait a second. Can you turn that off for a minute?
All right. What?
You got mentally challenged people at a separate security station checking to see if women are bringing on pleasure aids, as you call it, because a lot of them have been stopped by security, and it's embarrassing.
Hi, Bobby.
Are you hearing me?
I'm hearing it. We know you're Bobby. Just stand over there. Stand over there.
I'm Bobby.
No kidding. Who am I?
I'm Bobby.
Yeah, I know you're Bobby. Go ahead, Phil.
All right. Well, just the kid's going to, you know...
I'm Bobby.
...say what he's going to say, right?
Look, by calling the pleasure item a name that isn't so graphic, women can go about their way without the embarrassment, is what I'm saying.
All right, so you've got mentally challenged people who are trained to identify these things, and then they say, ride 'em cowboy.
Well, we don't want to say, you know, what did you used to say, Bobby?
That looks like a penis.
You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
See what I'm saying? So, Bobby will tell us, look, on any given day, Phil, some 200,000 pleasure toys... Don't play with the thing. On any given day, some 200,000 pleasure toys are screened at security checkpoints in our major airports. Now, they're taken out, they're looked at, because the security people are sick and twisted, and they're getting their jollies. The lines we can accept. We don't need security people getting their jollies and getting their giggles, pulling some woman's... 15-inch Long John Silver when you got an Airbus waiting on the tarmac for an 11-hour ride to Tokyo, okay?
I'm Bobby!
Don't put it in your mouth.
Okay, what's going on?
Put it on my mouth. Don't you ever put that in my mouth.
Well, number one, I don't like the fact that you have to use some form of corporal punishment to reinforce this, okay? Number two, I understand the kid is mentally challenged, so he will not embarrass anybody with what he sees. But by the same token, hold on for a minute. What?
That's all right. I'm fine.
Well, what did he do?
Get it out of my mouth. Nothing. Nothing at all.
All right, so by the same token, you've got these mentally challenged people manning a separate security station so women won't be embarrassed.
That is absolutely correct.
Don't you think that it's a little embarrassing training these young people to scream, ride 'em cowboy?
I don't think so, Phil, because no one knows what that means. And
all right, so the kid screams, ride 'em cowboy, and...
Turn it off.
Oh, well, why don't you have him do it again?
All right. Okay, so this time I'm really gonna pull one through, but I won't tell him.
What?
I said I'm really going to put one in there.
Go ahead.
All right, Bobby, what do you see on the screen?
That's a suitcase. That's a gym bag. Uh-oh, open torpedo tubes. Open torpedo tubes.
Open torpedo tubes, huh?
Give me the phone, you retard. Yes,
Give me the phone, retard?
It's pickle. That's a shaver, a Norelco shaver. You see that?
Well, it doesn't sound like it's working out too good for you guys, is it?
Huh?
It doesn't sound like it's working out too good.
Why?
Well, I just heard him yell pants pickle, and it was a Norelco electric shaver.
All right, well.
Back to the drawing board?
No, sir, not at all. What I'm saying is... For the millions and millions and millions of women every day trying to get through security checkpoints with their little pleasure toys, this is an opportunity for them to do it without embarrassment, without having one of these sick, twisted bastards that work in the security checkpoint.
Well, wait a minute. I don't like you maligning people that are working security, okay? They're overworked as it is.
You ever hear of anything, Phil, or maybe you heard about it? It was in the news recently. 9/11? Okay,
Well, you're not going to blame that all on them. We got to blame it on some of the rules and regulations that were in place, don't you?
I understand, but what I'm attempting to do is save women from embarrassment. And when you see these gals that are coming through the line, and...
Open torpedo tube!
Forget it, will you?
What is it?
Someone's groceries.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys, and I wish you a lot of success, although I don't think the combination of a mentally challenged guy working a security platform looking for pleasure toys is exactly what people have in mind when it comes to security, all right? Or for that matter, no embarrassment.
Open torpedo tube!
Give me the phone.
Uh-oh!
Okay, let me have it.
We gotta get going, all right?
That's fine.
Mr. Vernon!
Why is he saying that?
It's something that I have.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Keep us up to date on what on the work that you're doing, all right?
Plug! It's a plug!
Give me that. It's mine.
Oh, it's yours, huh?
Never mind.
Yeah, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back.
1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Hendry. Mr. Dozier, we were done with the segment, right?
No, but I would like to come on and explain what happened there.
Well, you've got a mentally challenged young man that I've heard you strike twice.
That's correct, sir, because the boy was getting out of hand, and sometimes we have to reinforce what we do.
All right, so what else do you need to explain?
Well, he was referencing a personal item of mine. And it was a story that I had told him to explain to him why we do what we do. And I didn't know he was going to open his mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, he's a mentally challenged kid. What, do you want him to keep a secret about something?
See what I'm saying?
Well, what did you want to explain?
I wanted to explain that the reason why I started this company, I had had a violent episode at Dallas-Fort Worth 6 months ago. I was on my way to a product convention in New York. My wife was not able to come along. So I brought something with me, okay?
Movie plug!
Would you... See what I'm saying?
Well, then get the kid out of there if he's embarrassing you, all right?
Get out of here, Bobby.
I don't play with a belt.
Get out of here. Get off.
All right. I would suggest, A, don't hit the kid, and B, get him out of there, okay?
Get out of here.
No!
Get out of here.
No.
Get out of here.
No.
What am I supposed to do? You don't want me to hit him, is that it?
No, I don't want you to hit him. Can you push him out?
Get out of here.
What's going on?
Get out of here.
No. All right, look at Vernon. Vernon.
Yes, sir.
Continue your story, please, okay?
All right, I'm just... Get out of here.
No!
Just continue the story.
I'm on my way to New York.
Poopy plug! Got it, Mr. Brennan!
Dirty little...
Just continue the story.
I'm on my way to New York. My wife was not able to come along. So I brought something with me.
Poopy plug!
Filthy little bit.
All right, continue. Was it like one of these pleasure things you're talking about?
You can imagine.
Okay.
I don't have to get graphic. It was a plug-like device, like the retard's been saying.
All right.
So sure enough, these smartasses at the security checkpoint, they pull it out, they start asking a lot of questions. And then one of them said the magic words. Okay.
Which are what?
What are you, gay? They said gay, and that's all it took. That's all anybody has to say to me, and I'll start swinging on them. It doesn't matter who they are or why. I will start to swing, and I will draw blood.
Well, what we have, Mr. Dozier, is your inability, I think, to operate in the world of human beings in a reasonable manner. I hear you with a retarded kid there that you have decided to hire to monitor whether women are bringing marital aids on board airplanes in their bags. That's goofy enough.
I explained it all to you. You can see how it works.
Okay, maybe I can see how it works, but it still sounds a little goofy. That's the number one thing. Then we have you hitting the kid when he doesn't do what you're telling him to do. And on top of all of that, you got a problem being called gay, and so you start swinging on people.
I hadn't checked it in because I wanted to use it on the plane.
So what, you were carrying this thing on you?
Yes. Oh, so what, does that make me gay?
No.
You're kidding.
Well, you dirty...
Look at, man, you got issues, okay?
What?
You got issues.
Oh, I got issues. So a retard can stand there and call me gay, and I'm giving him a job.
You gave him a goofy job based on some perception you've got that this is the need for security at major airports, all right?
Sometimes it helps my ears when I inserted in there on descent. All right.
Okay, so you got some plug-like device that you're sticking in your ears.
That's correct.
Well, if I were you, never, ever tip your hand to a guy like this that you got employed, some poor kid that isn't going to be able to keep his mouth shut. That's number one. And get that checked out, that whole issue you got.
About what?
About being called gay.
Well, would it make any difference if I told you that I wasn't carrying it on me, I was carrying it in me, and that's what I found invasive?
I don't even give a crap anymore what it is you were doing with it. I just don't care. I'm just simply saying it's a disgusting thing, okay? See what I'm saying? No maturity, man.
What?
You don't have any maturity level. You're beating up on the guy that you say you're trying to help. Get out of here. Come on. Why is it on this show, every time I get a guest on, he turns out to be mental? That's my question and my answer. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Okay, fine. By the way, we're very pleased and proud to tell you that Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt has been named Collectible of the Month by Los Angeles Magazine. I don't even think they really have an award for Collectible of the Month. They just mentioned us in one of their little columns there. But go over to our website, philhendryshow.com, and check it out. It is a collectible. It's only
$80.
And it's really worth it. We've been selling these babies out. We have to keep reordering, especially the double extra large shirts. We have to keep reordering because of the enormity of our fans. So go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, go to the souvenir shop and find the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt and pick that baby up. It's a great gift idea. It's great for Halloween. It's great for, you can go, why don't you go as Ted Bell this Halloween? It's great for birthdays. You know, the holiday season's coming around. Might as well stock up now. Get about six or seven of them for every man in your family. And that way, boom, you're done. You're done with your husband, that's for sure. And while you're in our souvenir shop, pick up on that Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. High quality, 100% cotton T-shirt, black and silver, with the Citizens Auxiliary Police insignia on the left breast and the slogan, "We just take a peek over the shoulder of the police," on the back. It's all available there on the website, philhendryshow.com, in our souvenir shop. And, of course, all of our best of CDs are as well. You'll be glad you did.
Hey!
Let me get it.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hi, everybody. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills saying, thanks so much for the return of those miners. We are all rejoicing along with America.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
So you basically have said you've had enough of what?
Well, what I've had enough of, Phil, is I've seen too many miners trapped. Too many miners have been trapped in mine shafts down through the years, and what really sickens me are the millions of American people putting these miners at risk. And
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Ted. Putting the miners at what?
Putting them at risk.
At risk?
Because of charcoal. Forget buying a gas grill. Save yourself money. Buy a cheap kettle grill. Buy charcoal. Fine. But what about the men risking their lives in those mine shafts so you can have your charcoal barbecue?
Well, the coal that they're mining, as I understand it, again, we're talking about the nine miners who very, very fortunately were rescued. Great work there in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
The coal that they mine is principally for fuel.
Principally charcoal. 80 to 90% of the coal mined in Pennsylvania goes right to your supermarket shelf where people But up in the summer for the cookouts, they buy it and they have charcoal. And Phil, the saddest part is those guys risked their lives. They came out of that shaft in a tube and they were put in a hospital so some guy can light his charcoal briquette and turn a beautiful sirloin into a combat boot that you wouldn't serve to an alley cat. I am angry. I think it's time the American people got angry. And I'm
going, well, what do you propose?
Well, what I'm proposing, I'd like to see any number of things happen. Learn how to cook a steak with charcoal briquettes so these men are not risking their lives for nothing. Stop using charcoal. Go to gas. But that would put a lot of guys out of work. Or what we recommend, if you want a great-tasting barbecued steak, I would say, you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
And you have erected a neon sign out, and we have a picture of that, I think, somewhere here, and I know that you got a little bit of a news coverage for that.
That's right, Phil. A multi-light neon graphic sign that says, and I don't know if you can see that on our website.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
It says, "Stop torturing our coal miners. Eat at Ted's of Beverly Hills."
Well, what about, wouldn't any steakhouse do?
In terms of
eating a gas-grilled steak?
Well, Phil, we like to think that we're the only steakhouse, with all due respect to other steakhouses, but I say this with humility, but by the same token I say it. We believe we're the only steakhouse acknowledging our small part in keeping people from buying charcoal that contributes to the dangers these coal miners face. And so to answer the question, no, not just any steakhouse would do. I don't see any of them putting signs up that say quit torturing coal miners. I don't see any of them pointing out, and again, I can't stress this enough, that these guys think they know how to barbecue. They get their Kingsford coals all lit up, thanks to a coal miner. Then they throw some gorgeous tri-tip out there, and it turns into something you wouldn't find put in a fireplace. And that's what I'm talking about.
Barbecuing isn't so much the food. It's the getting together, though, isn't it? And
well, oh, I see. So let me get this straight. You want to murder coal miners so you can sit around and have a martini?
No, I do not. No, I do not. I'm just saying that a barbecue isn't so much the eating.
Well, I have to be honest. When my wife has her girlfriends over for a drink, and I hear one of them say the usual thing, "Oh, my husband is great on that grill. Oh, my husband does flank steak better than anyone," I pray to God I don't lose it right there, because, you know, what they think is a great marinade is A1 with ketchup. All right.
So you're against using charcoal for barbecues, not only because it puts coal miners at risk, but also because it makes a lousy barbecue.
Well, in a lot of ways. But people are also used to having that coal smoke pour up over their steak, and they don't know what a great-tasting steak is. What that is a Stockholm syndrome. People have been held hostage by the bad charcoal smoke, okay? So what we're trying to say is, what we're trying to basically say is, let's get people together, understand that in buying charcoal, you're putting miners at risk, and the steak tastes like it came out of someone's rear end, Phil, and I would never say that.
Well, it's not necessary.
I wouldn't say that in any other instance, but I am that upset about what we saw over this past weekend. Those brave coal miners, those brave, brave men trapped in a mine shaft, so all these suburbanites can say, what do you want to, butterfly the shrimp? How do you want to cook it? To me, and I wonder how many people this weekend thought once about those miners in Pennsylvania while they tossed lighter fluid on the briquettes that those very miners dug out with their bare hands. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. With me is Ted Bell. He's the owner of a steakhouse in Beverly Hills called Ted's of Beverly Hills. Obviously, you don't cook with charcoal.
No, we do not. So we use gas grills, and we also have a wood-burning stove.
All right, so you cook utilizing only gas and only wood.
And one of the reasons is we know what miners have to go through to extract that coal from underground. And do you think I'm going to sit there and watch a man almost lose his life so I can stand around with my wife, have a drink, and throw a piece of meat on a kettle barbecue that I'm going to destroy anyway? Because any guy that uses charcoal briquettes is absolutely destroying his meal. And I mean, you might as well urinate on it. And
can we just back off these references?
Forgive me, Phil, but I'm saying, you use charcoal briquettes, you might as well take the food and throw it away. So what I'm asking people to do, if they care about the miners in Pennsylvania, if they care about the miners in West Virginia, if they care about these people who have had such a difficult time over the last 3 days, well, we saved their lives. And what are they down there for? So people can have their charcoal cookout. It makes me want to, I spit the words out. I really do. You remember Jesus said to the Pharisees, vomit you out of my mouth. I think the same about anybody that cooks with charcoal at their cookout.
I didn't think we'd get the Bible quoted here.
Well, I'm damn mad about it, Bill.
All right, number 1-800-449-8686. You've done some things that have gotten some negative notice in the local press, Ted. Tell me about that.
Well, I wrote a letter to the L.A. Times in which I said barbecuing with charcoal could kill our coal miners.
Okay.
And one of the writers there called me, and I've got the quote right here. Possibly the biggest imbecile to ever own and operate a restaurant in Southern California. Well, let me tell you, that pissed me off, all right? And because nobody talks about... I'm Ted Bell, all right? No one talks about me that way. Now, our banner says, stop endangering the miners, eat at Ted's. And I have told the L.A. Times I'll give them 48 hours to retract, or so help me, sweet God, I will stage an L.A. Times bonfire, and I won't use charcoal, I'll use gas.
Coal and charcoal, there's a difference between coal and charcoal, isn't it? Isn't there?
No, that's something the charcoal business has been saying for years. Why do these minor accidents happen in the summer? Because every idiot's fired up his briquettes, and a lot of it's consumed right there in Pennsylvania. That's the other part that drives me nuts.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. Mike, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Okay, listen, this guy, I wonder what he's talking about. Charcoal is made out of wood. The product he's talking about is made out of coal.
Why is it called
coke?
Why is it called coal?
Any kind of a coal. There can be wood coals and all sorts of coals.
Okay, but these miners who have risked
you
their lives...
You have missed the boat, Bubba. You missed the boat.
No, I did not.
Yes.
What I'm saying
charcoal is a wood product. It's not a mineral.
There's all kinds of different coal. Would you agree with that?
Charcoal...
Would you agree with that?
Hey, don't back me in the corner.
No, I'm not trying to back you in the corner. I'm trying to save the lives of miners.
Charcoal is a product made with wood and some assorted clays. It's not made with coal.
No.
There's no anthracite coal. There's no coal of that kind in charcoal.
Do you work in the charcoal business? You do, don't you?
No.
No, because this is what the charcoal business has been trying to sell for years.
Hogwash.
No, they have. A lot of the coal that comes out of the coal mines in Pennsylvania goes right into... Is this... By the way, you sound like Hank Hill.
I don't know Hank Hill.
All right. A lot of the coal that comes out of the mines in Pennsylvania goes directly into some jackass's barbecue. I'm not saying you, Mike, but a lot of these people. Well, you may think it's funny, nine miners trapped. I don't think it's funny.
Nobody thinks that those miners being trapped is funny, all right?
Funny, I don't know. The point I'm trying to make is that you're wet about your position for mining charcoal. You don't mine charcoal.
Can you tell me why they call it coal?
Anything that's burned, it leaves an ash is a coal.
But coal mined is not burned. Not when they find it under the ground. Am I right about that, Phil?
Oh, wait, you're getting into semantics now.
No, sir. What I'm saying
is you are.
The
you
coal that is found underground.
No.
Has that been burned yet? The answer is no. So what they do with that is they bring it up...
Is the coal that's mined in Pennsylvania put into barbecues?
No.
Yes.
No, hell no.
Sir, I beg to... Sir, I'm in the restaurant business. Can I ask you a question? Did you once think about those miners when your wife brought out that potato salad to eat with that combat boot steak you cooked?
Well, I don't think a lot of people know.
All right, look at Mike, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. The coal miners in Pennsylvania are mining coal, and Ted says that they're risking their lives so people can have their cookouts on the weekends and have their charcoal barbecues going, and those poor guys are trapped underground. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. So Ted Bell with us now. You have another sign on your restaurant.
Well, the sign says no miner was injured during the cooking of this steak. And what that means, Phil, is that we do not use charcoal in our place of business. We use gas. Those miners that came out of that mine shaft on Sunday who were digging out that coal so somebody can stand around a barbecue and tell his kids, don't go in the house with your feet wet. and he's cooking up some barbecued shrimp or chicken teriyaki, or which is, by the way, I haven't met a human being yet that can make teriyaki chicken decently. These guys are risking their lives so your next-door neighbor can make some god-awful chicken teriyaki? You have got to be kidding me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We all say, once again, thank God for the safe rescue of the coal miners in Pennsylvania. Cecilia, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I can't resist calling the man with his charcoal a downright idiot. Coal is mine to heat the homes in Pennsylvania and the surrounding area.
Yes, but they also barbecue with it.
No, they do not. You're a first-class jackass.
Los Angeles Times referred to me as an imbecile, and now you're piling on.
Well, you yourself use the expression jackass, and that's exactly what you are.
Well, don't you think it's a jackass thing to have men risking their lives?
They're not risking their lives for barbecuing. They're risking their lives to save lives in the wintertime, to heat furnaces, to heat homes.
That's what you do with charcoal. Hello. You light it on
fire. You don't do that with charcoal. You do it with coal. I happen to come from Pennsylvania, and I happen to come from the coal mining district.
I may
live in the Midwest now.
God bless those people, Cecilia. But let me say this to you. If you take charcoal and you put lighter fluid on it and you light it on fire, guess what it does? It gets hot. That's what I'm talking about. People are heating their homes with that.
No, they're heating their homes with coal.
No,
they usually order coal by the ton, and it comes in the fall so that you'd be prepared for the winter with your furnace.
Well, get a load of Norma Ray. You know,
up and find out what goes on in this world instead of acting like an idiot?
Ma'am, I am trying to save the lives of miners by only using gas.
Accidents will happen anywhere. You could be in an accident in the car. You could trip and fall and break a leg. You can have an accident at all times.
What's that got
I was
to do with
born
what
and raised
about?
In Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Do you know how to cook a steak?
Absolutely.
On charcoal?
On charcoal,
and
yes.
And you are contributing to the murder of
miners
who are...
I am not.
No, she's
You're
not.
An idiot.
I'm an
You're
idiot.
A first... class idiot.
The Los Angeles Times called me possibly the biggest imbecile to ever own and operate a restaurant in Southern California.
Well, boy, they ought to throw you out into the ocean because you have no brain.
Do you know how many miners you put in danger with that hibachi of yours?
I have no hibachi.
We're talking about...
You have a hibachi?
No, I have no hibachi.
Do you know what a hibachi is?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a cooker.
It's a barbecue, okay?
Well, it is. It's a cooker.
That's right. You're right, ma'am. It's a barbecue. And
you've never used charcoal?
She doesn't use charcoal.
You might as well eat the flesh of those miners when you grill on charcoal.
You know something?
That's what I
Why don't you wake
thing?
Up and
I'm,
smell the roses?
I'm
you,
awake.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Coal. Burn.
Yes, coal. And coal is used for heating
then
coal.
Then why do they call it charcoal?
It's
Or maybe
different.
You like being a cannibal.
The charcoal and the coal are two different
Tell you
things.
What, Cecilia, when you put that charcoal in your barbecue, why don't you just go ahead and throw a miner on the grill?
All right.
Oh, you're stupid ass.
Right,
you
I'm
know
ass.
That. Bye.
Oh, she hung up. See, she didn't have the courage to debate me. And if
what's to debate? We've already been talking to you about charcoal and coal possibly being two different things, okay?
How are they different, Phil, when the fact remains that you call it coal and it gets hot? Now, let me tell you something, Phil, about it.
Call it coal and it gets hot? Okay, it's some kind of coal.
Let me tell you something. Coal, when it's under enough pressure, turns to diamonds. Now, you know that, right?
Yes, anybody knows that from school, yeah. Diamonds are the result of coal under a great amount of pressure.
All right. When I was a little boy, I went into the garage and I took a piece of charcoal from my father's barbecue bag, okay, from the Kingsford bag.
Right.
And I remember standing on it for about 6 hours. And I stood on it and I stood on it and I would not get up. When I got off of it after about 6 hours, because it was a summer afternoon, I didn't have a lot to do, I am telling you the God's truth that there looked to be some iridescent or crystallized material inside of it. Okay?
Wait a minute. You took a piece of Kingsford charcoal and stood on it when you were a kid?
To apply pressure to the coal.
And you say there were diamonds?
Yes.
there was some kind of crystallized material. Now, if you've seen the Superman movie, he takes coal from underground, squeezes
it. Yeah, I know. Squeezes it, and it turns into a diamond.
Yes. Yes. Now, how do you explain that?
Superman.
Superman took the coal, squeezed it, and it turned into a diamond. Now, the coal that he had wasn't from underground. I think it was a Kingsford briquette or a...
Now, well, I don't know whatever it was, and I don't know that you, when you stood on top of the coal as a kid, it actually turned into diamonds. I don't know that that's the case. All I know is that the coal we're talking about that those miners were going after was coal from underground, and the charcoal, okay...
Look, the first words that came out of those miners' mouths when they came out of that tube was, please stop barbecuing. Jesus H, am I the only one?
Leanne, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
I just looked up the word charcoal in the dictionary.
What, you didn't know what it meant?
I wanted to make sure of the root of the word because I knew very well. He kept saying, why is it called coal?
Why is it
well,
called
it's
coal?
Called
exactly.
Coal because it's Middle English.
Exactly.
It is C-O-L-E back
exactly.
in those days.
That's right.
And it's come down to us
like
that
old
way.
King
it's tradition.
Cole. Like Old King Coal.
Yes, Old King Coal probably.
Who died
definitely
in that.
He was probably a charcoal person. Anyway,
that's
I looked
good.
Up the definition, and it is the
no.
imperfect
no, I,
combustion
I
of
funny.
Water, other organic materials that produces this stuff. It's not the mine.
Charcoal. That's come
sake.
Out of the mines.
Oh, I cannot believe the ignorance of these West Coast liberals.
So, in other words, you think it's funny that he's called Nat King Cole because he's black like a piece of coal?
I have no idea about that, but again, we're talking
racist.
Middle English.
Get a load of the races.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think it's funny, don't you?
Oh, sure.
That a black man's called Cole.
Well, I didn't
listen,
call him Cole because
I don't think we ought to get into any racism
well,
here.
You
this
you
is in Middle England, not the white people, okay?
You laughed at the fact that he was called Nat King Cole.
I am laughing at the fact that I'm even making this conversation at all. I cannot believe I had to
coal?
Go look up something in the dictionary that somebody should have learned years ago.
I know what coal is, and I know that we've got miners who are putting their ass on the line so you can go out and have your teriyaki chicken.
I don't eat teriyaki chicken, and I do not do anything with coal. But let me tell you, sir, if you will take that dictionary off the shelf with probably gathering dust, you will be able to find out what the root of that word is and how old. It is, and also what it is. It's the product of the imperfect combustion of organic or wood material, and that's all it is.
I know what words mean. I don't need a dictionary.
Oh, yeah, really? I don't think you do. I think you do need a dictionary.
The coal miner's daughter almost never made it because of barbecues, so think of that.
I do not know the first thing about barbecues except for this stuff which I just looked up, and it's got nothing whatsoever to do with coal that you dig out of the ground. Goodbye.
1-800-449-6686, Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you dirty...
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
But I won't let her go near it.
You won't let your wife do what?
I will not let my wife. Well, you got nine guys that almost lost their lives this past weekend, Phil, in the coal mines of Pennsylvania. And my wife had the gall to walk outside with Korean beef in a tray. And I said, what do you think you're going to do with that? She said, I'm going to barbecue it. I said, you are either going to put that on a gas grill or you can take it and throw it in the street. And she said the gas grill was broken, she was pulling our kettle barbecue out, and she was going to use charcoal. And I took that Korean beef from her, and I threw it into the middle of the street.
Because of the coal miners?
Because of our coal miners who are risking their lives so my wife and women like her can get into their Bobby Flay books and do some kind of fancy Dan Southwestern barbecue.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're having you got to admit, having a debate as to whether the miners in Pennsylvania were mining charcoal or coal. And
it's coal, Phil. What is wrong with you? It's coal.
It's coal, okay. And
that's what they use in barbecues.
In barbecues.
Yes. 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 You know, here I am, and I took that Korean beef and...
Yeah, you threw it in the street, I know.
Because that's what I think about that.
Here is Bill on the Phil Henry Show, our number 1-800-449-8686. Bill, go ahead.
I live in Arkansas, and I've got a business, and I wholesale, make and wholesale charcoal. Bituminous coal comes from the ground.
Where do you get it from?
We cut down trees. We use oak, hickory, the best hardwood to make charcoals made out of hickory.
So you're getting it from Pennsylvania, or where?
We sell it everywhere.
You know, not where you sell it. Where are you getting your coal from?
We make our coal. We burn incomplete combustion of hickory, oak, and other select
hardwoods. What about those miners? What about the miners? What do you think?
I would hate to think I had a steak that was cooked on bituminous coal, because there's no telling what it would taste like. Probably tar.
What? I can't believe there are people right at this moment while those miners are talking on television and they're lying.
I can't believe there's anyone as stupid as you are that would think that charcoal is made from bituminous coal. It is not.
We make
tons of it every year. The Kingsford charcoal you got, that's made in Mississippi, and it's made fine from my fine Mississippi hickory.
Don't you think the Kingsford people...
It's not made out of coal, it is mine.
Don't you think the Kingsford people share responsibility in the possible death of these men?
Not one bit.
Wait a minute.
Not unless a hickory tree fell on them. You stupid fool.
I'm a stupid fool.
Yes, you are.
Okay, the L.A. Times...
Listen
to me, sir.
Cowboy, I make charcoal.
The Los Angeles
Times called me the biggest imbecile
to ever own and operate a restaurant in Southern California.
You know, you quoted that twice. Are you proud of that?
Well, he called me a stupid fool. This other woman called me something. This is what happens when you're fighting against all odds to save these miners. I don't murder miners, sir. You come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, I use gas. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Well, I tell you what, I would certainly like to see what a steak tastes like if you cooked it over bituminous coal in a charcoal grill. I'll bet you it would be fun.
Bituminous grill. What is that?
Bituminous coal. On a grill.
Well, what were the guys in Pennsylvania? They were mining charcoal, so I don't know what it is.
No, they're not. You don't mine charcoal.
You don't.
You do not mine charcoal.
I don't mind it either. But I prefer gas.
You might.
All right.
The tool you use to make charcoal is
right.
A chainsaw. You cut a tree down.
Charcoal, what this gentleman is saying, is made out of wood.
It is made out of wood.
Then why do they call it coal?
Because all kinds of stuff is coal.
Have you ever seen
a fireplace that had coals in it?
Yeah.
Well,
my kids at Christmas, I put it in their stocking.
You put a lump.
What do you mean bituminous? Right, kind of a tree? I don't understand.
Look, coal is a burnt, is some kind of a burn thing. They're not mining charcoal is the bottom line. And
that's
your
correct.
Sign on your restaurant that says we don't murder miners here has got nothing to do with anything.
Well, then why is my restaurant packed?
Then they must be real idiots out in Beverly Hills.
They
called you the biggest imbecile that ever owned a restaurant.
That's right.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks very much. 1-800-449-8686.
Wait a minute.
I'm given a number here. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show here as I'm talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. What is this, okay?
Do I get a commercial or don't I?
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
So if Superman squeezed a lump of charcoal, would he make a diamond or would he make a big lump of hickory? Hello, it's a diamond.
Wait a minute, man. What you're saying is that if Superman...
Shut up.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
And remember, our waitresses are dressed up as rescued miners, and no miners were injured in the kicking of our steaks. Bye.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
And of course, the other thing, Phil, is that the Pittsburgh Steelers play football in western Pennsylvania, which is near many of the coal mines. And what do you think those fans are going to be doing before the Steeler games this season? They'll be in the parking lot of the brand-new Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium, kicking up wieners,
and the bratwursts on coal that some miner is underground mining, sitting there trapped with barely enough air to keep a sparrow alive while some fat Steeler fan sucks on a wiener. To me, Phil, it's a disgrace.
Okay.
1-800-449-8686. Troy, go ahead.
Yeah, I can't believe you own a restaurant and you don't know the difference between coal and charcoal. The word coal is a fuel.
C-O-A-L. Coal.
That's right.
Right.
That's
okay.
I
don't cook with charcoal in a restaurant. Are you kidding?
Well, you got your restaurant built with the stuff. It's compressed wood.
No, what are you talking about? My restaurant's, first of all, I've got gabardine and I have thick swashes of cloth in my bar. What do you mean wood?
What's the building built out
of? What's the building made out of?
I don't know. Bricks, whatever. I don't know what it is.
What's your tables made out of?
What are your tables made out of?
Mine's made out of lumber.
Lumber. What's this got to do with miners sacrificing their lives?
Well, charcoal is trees that are burnt into a incinerator.
Yeah.
And then it's sprayed and compressed.
So you're on that kick, right? You're a lover?
I'm a logger.
I don't know what that is.
Well, I cut the trees and deliver the trees that build your home, yeah. And coal is something you dig up out of the ground. Now do you know the difference between the two? Because I would like to see you steak. I would like to see you cook a steak over coal that those miners were digging up.
Well, I don't know what you mean by logger.
Well,
I don't live in a log cabin.
Son,
you
need to go to school, I guess.
Well, I don't live in a log cabin. I live in a home, split level, southwestern design.
Well, then your home was built out of what I cut down and deliver.
Logs.
Logs, that's right.
Well, what are those made out of?
Well,
wood.
It's a waste of time.
They're made out of wood.
I can't even believe you're on the radio.
Well,
but
I don't know what you mean when you,
you
say
don't even
logger.
Know the difference.
You say that you're into wood. You didn't say that. You said logs.
Well,
look at Troy, and I say this because I'll say this man to man. When somebody says to me, you know, I logged this morning, you know what we're talking about.
Well, down south you do.
All right. So that ain't made out of wood either, unless I ought to change my diet. Now, my house has an aluminum frame, so...
Will you forget about logging, okay?
I mean, I laid lumber this morning downstairs, but what is that supposed to... What's that got to do with anything you're talking about?
Well, I'm trying to tell you what charcoal's made out of.
It's made out of wood.
That's
right. It's made out of burnt wood, basically.
It's made out of burnt wood. It goes into an incinerator.
Why does it burn if it's...
Well, hold on. Just sit back. Sit back and listen for a change.
I'm talking about miners in Pennsylvania who have risked their lives.
That's right.
Okay.
They risked their lives to draw the coal that is fuel.
You can barbecue.
No, it does not go to a barbecue. It's the same fuel that you burn in trains. Your fuel, Coleman lantern fuel. That's what they're digging up.
I fly in airplanes and I use a flashlight. I don't know what else I can do.
I mean, man, on the IQ scale, son, I think you owe them some points.
You know,
I can't believe you don't know the difference between the two. You pick a damn bag of charcoal bricks up, and you read on the side of it, it'll say made out of hardwood, oak, hickory, things like that.
I'll tell you something else.
If a man took a chunk of coal and a chunk of charcoal, smacked you on each side of the head, you would remember the difference between the two.
See, since you came on the air, all you can talk about is wood and big brown logs.
Well, you're trying to make it sound like anybody that has anything to do with the timber industry making charcoal is we're the blame for those men.
That's a very good point. Yeah,
we're not associated with fuel at all.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Well, we're
I'm
not
saying that you guys are talking about wood and logs, and it, to me, sounds disgusting.
Well, there's something badly mixed up about it.
Yeah.
Charcoal and wood.
Charcoal is wood.
Coal
is a stone. It's a fuel stone that is found underground.
So when I stood on that charcoal as a kid and tried to turn it into a diamond?
You're a stupid kid.
You want to sit around and rub a piece of wood and hope you get a damn piece of diamond out of it, but you won't get nothing like that. You'd look like a damn
fool. See, here's what you go again. There you go talking about rubbing wood.
Well, you're the one that wants to rub charcoal, but good luck.
I'll rub charcoal before I start rubbing your wood.
All right. Get out of here, will you, Ted?
What about my commercial?
Go ahead and play it.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
All right, so I'm wrong. Charcoal is made out of wood, and the coal that those guys were mining comes from underground. All right? I'm Ted. Come on in for a steak.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Remember, no miners were injured while eating it.
Yeah. Talking about rubbing wood. So there's Ted Bell, and he's a, as he was called by the Los Angeles Times, possibly the biggest imbecile to ever own and operate a restaurant in Southern California. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Hey, listen, if you identify with Ted on some sick, twisted level, you may want a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. You can pick up a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt by simply going to philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, and to pick up that Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. You can also get our Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police shirt and the best of the Phil Henry Show CDs. This year's is called Bring It. So do it today. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686. Those guys that were trapped in that mine, they got my respect, because if I were trapped in something like that for, well, first of all, I wouldn't be down there, because I've got many phobias, and one of them is being confined in a small space. I can't think of anything worse than being, like, buried alive, something like that. Has that ever, you know, I don't even think about it, you know, but being underground the way those guys were for 77 hours, listen, I guess it's a certain kind of person that can deal with it. It's like people that are in submarines. You know the guys in the Navy that are in subs? They're all the same kind of people. They're very soft-spoken guys. They have a very, a very relaxed approach to life. They don't get too nervous. Somebody like me, you put me in a submarine, and all of my hair, every part of my body would be torn out within minutes. But these guys that are cool, calm, and collected. And did you see these dudes being interviewed on TV today? And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, if you only knew. If you only knew just how tough you are. Seriously. If you only knew how much I admire what you do for a living, as opposed to me sitting here and running my gas bag 3 hours a day. We always hear people say, oh, the coal miners and the teachers and the police and the fire, they don't get paid enough. And yeah, you know, the whole thing's messed up. It's totally messed up. I'm saying it right now. I mean, we reward dancers. Huge money. Think about, what's the most ridiculous job that you've seen anybody? A guy that throws a football, somebody who play acts on the movie screen, play acting. Think about that gig for a while. Is there a less manly pursuit than play acting? Ballet is the next step. If you're ballet, or if you're putting on a cowboy outfit and going, hey there, partner, with a camera going, and then I caught ya. Voicing cartoons is silly. And the money you can make doing any one of those three things is astronomical. Here are some real men. These guys I saw on TV. In fact, one of those guys was chewing tobacco and spitting the juice into a bottle. Did you see that? The middle guy. Guy's got a bottle. I saw him stick his nose down into it, and he wasn't taking a drink out of it. There was a nice, big, thick little layer of tobacco juice just laying in the bottom of that bottle. And then that other guy next to him, and the other guy, these three guys, these are tough cats. And then the dude behind, a young guy, I think there were five they interviewed this morning out of the nine. These guys, this is what we call tough. And what do I do for a living? Nothing. God, I wish I mined coal. All I want to do is mine coal, and where am I? I'm stuck in this hell. This living hell. coming in here every day and going, hey, hey, Phil, how you doing? Oh, really good.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Go home to my wife, and she goes, oh, King of the Hill called. They want you to do another voice. And I go, well, why don't you just turn around and call me a fag? Honey, somebody wants you to do a TV show. Oh, a TV show. You might as well put high heels on me. Coal miner? That's a man. Tough dudes. All I have ever wanted is to be 2,400 feet below sea level, and look where I am. Oh, you mean 240? 240 feet below sea level, and look where I am. Yes, David, what can I do for you?
Phil, my private toilet is clogged. Come on up at the commercial and play Coal Miner for me, will you?
That's funny.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Well, they're out, they're healthy, they're safe. Let me just add my voice to the chorus of voices saying we're glad those guys are okay, because I do it for selfish reasons. I want people to know that I have a heart and that I have sensitivity and that I'm not always trying to make fun of everything that comes down the pike. In other words, what I'm trying to do is increase my audience share and my quarter hour, and I'm trying to, in other words, get higher ratings so that you'll identify with me and not think that I'm a slime ball. Okay? Thanks. All right, Mr. Green, tell me what you did.
All I did, Mr. Henry, was I took the little girl by the hand, I led her across the street.
Yeah, but she was screaming, right?
Because kids are afraid of dogs. I told her I've got puppies in the van, and I took her across the street, I put her in the van to see the puppies. And for that, I was almost beaten to death. I can tell you what the doctor told me. I had two cracked ribs, multiple bruising to my face, and part of my scalp was lacerated because I took this girl up on the freeway to show her the puppies that I had. Now, these are Scottish Terrier puppies. And
why were you driving with this child who was already screaming, didn't want to get in your van? Why were you up on the freeway?
I told her that the puppies are cute when they stick their head out the window and feel the air. If you've ever owned dogs, one of the more endearing things about a dog is that they love to put their faces out in the wind. It's something that dogs enjoy. You put them up on the freeway, it's a lot of fun to see the dogs put their faces out.
And so this girl you took by the hand, put in your van, took up onto the freeway, and then you brought her back?
Then I brought her back, yes. And I'm asking you, why is it then I'm deserving of a beating?
Because you took a girl from a park, a five-year-old girl that you say was screaming.
Yeah, she was screaming, but I didn't know that she was screaming necessarily because she didn't want to go with me. I know that kids are afraid of dogs. And I told her, do you want to see a puppy? And she said, yes. So that was my first indication that, yes, she did. And then when I took her by the hand, she started to scream, and I said, I know you're probably afraid of the dogs. All right? Now, when I pulled back up with this child, who I had fully intended on taking back to the park, then I am assaulted by three men, three cracked ribs, severe laceration. I've got a lacerated kidney as a result of this, because this kid decides to change her mind, and now she's screaming.
Well, you said you thought it was she was screaming because she was afraid of dogs.
Well, as it turns out, the kid wouldn't stop screaming. Everybody took that to mean that she was afraid. I asked her, do you want to see puppies? And she said yes. I took her by the hand, and then she started to scream. And I knew that what was really bothering her was the fear of the dogs. But she wouldn't stop the screaming. That's why I put the sock in her mouth, and that's why I taped the sock in.
All right, well, you got to understand something, Mr. Green. Take a child from a park, put the child in a van, stick a sock in her mouth, and tape it, that looks like kidnapping.
Well, it may look like kidnapping, but let me tell you what I have suffered from, and I think what a lot of people are suffering from, and that is brutality at the hands of these vigilantes who all think that they want to be the ones who are going to find Elizabeth Smart, or they all think they're going to be the ones who are going to clean up the country from terrorists. They're these neighborhood vigilantes. They go out and they get their shotguns and their pieces of wood. And all I wanted to do was show some kids some puppies that I had in the back of the van.
Well, you pulled up to a playground. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Why did you tell me you were looking around to make sure there were no adults around?
Because, and again, you're twisting my words.
No, I'm not twisting your words. In the facts you sent to my producer, you admit to the fact you looked around to make sure there were no adults around.
Because, as I said to your producer, and I'm sorry that she didn't communicate this to you, I wanted it to be a surprise for the adults if the kids wanted the puppies. Okay?
So you didn't want any adult to know that you were showing puppies to these children in the playground because you wanted it to be a surprise?
Yes. And I said that to your producer, and again, I am sorry to see that she did not elect to share that with you. But I will tell you, I've dealt with the media now for the last 24 hours on this, and there isn't one person, not one, who understands that I am a victim of circumstance and that I never intended to harm that child at all.
1-800-449-8686 is our number. Robert Green, who was, and you were eventually arrested.
I was arrested by the police, by the Linwood police. I was taken into custody. I was treated at the scene, but taken into custody. I told him my story. I have been released on bail. This is a nightmare for my family, my wife, and friends of mine, even given the fact that all I did was want to show a girl some puppies that I had in the back of a van.
Well, these people believed you to be a pervert.
Well, I didn't look like a pervert, Mr. Henry.
What makes you think you didn't look like a pervert?
You can ask the police. When I was arrested, I was wearing a three-piece suit. I was wearing wingtips. My hair was combed. I'm clean cut. I am completely above reproach in my behavior with these children.
Let's go back. You pull up in a van.
In a Windstar van.
You pull up in a van. You get out. You've got puppies in the back?
I had the puppies at my home. The idea...
So you don't even have the dogs in the back?
I had one or two of them, but most of them were at my home.
You had two puppies in the back. The rest were at your home. You were going to take the children to your home.
Yes, sir. So that makes me a pervert now. Is that correct?
I want to be very clear. You pulled up in your van. You got out wearing a three-piece suit and wingtips, and you went over to some kids at a playground, and you said, do you want to see some puppies?
And they answered yes. And I want that to be in the record, and I want that to be clear. They said, yes, they did.
All right. And then you grabbed her by the hand?
I said, come on, don't be scared, because I know kids are afraid of puppies. I took the girl across the street.
By the way, her name is not being released by the police because she was returned unharmed.
You better believe she was returned unharmed. And what has happened to this society that's a crime to see a puppy lick a child's face?
All right, so you took the child across the street to your van. You put her in the van. You said, would you like to see how the dogs like to stick their head out the window? And you took off in the van.
Well, when you say took off...
Well, you drove away in the van.
Yes. And then I brought her back.
After you taped a sock into her mouth.
She was screaming, and it was unbelievable because I had done nothing wrong. She was going to attract attention. I had done nothing wrong.
You still maintain you did nothing wrong by taking this child against her will?
It was not against her will because she did say she wanted to see the puppies.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Robert Green, who's got himself some problem with the police. You pulled up with dogs, you went across the street, you put the kid in the van, she said she wanted to see the puppies, you took her into the van, and you've been charged with kidnapping. You've also been charged with a aggravated assault charge by putting that sock in her mouth.
That to me is an outrage, Mr. Henry. I am a businessman. I have never harmed anyone in my life.
You stuck a sock in this kid's mouth, taped her shut, and now you're telling me that you didn't have all the puppies. Most of them were at your house.
Yes, because the dogs get car sick. Do I look like a pervert? I sent over my photograph.
You're wearing a three-piece suit with wingtips.
Yes, sir.
Were you going to take that kid to your house?
That's where the dogs were.
You have to see it the way a lot of parents are going to see this, Mr. Green. You've got a child in a van against her will.
No, she was not. It was not against her will. She said she wanted to see the puppies.
Did you tell her they were at your house?
She knew they were in the van. And then I said, have you ever seen them the way they looked when their head stuck out the window? And she said no. And I said, well, I'll show you. And that's when I took off. So she tacitly approved of me driving away and getting onto the freeway.
You call that tacit approval when she says, no, I haven't.
Yes, I do, sir. All right. My point, Mr. Henry, again, is that there are too many of these vigilantes who think they're going to run around out there in public, and they're going to be the big bad daddies who are going to beat up on a guy like me simply trying to get some puppies to a kid.
Were you going to give them away?
Yeah, I was going to give them away.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Angela on the Phil Henry Show. Angela, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Why would you take two of the puppies to someone to a playground to show children?
Right.
Leave them in the car. Well, you didn't want to take all of them for some reason.
The
Why
animals
would you
get
leave them
sick.
In the van?
The animals get car sick.
Okay. Why did you take two of them?
Oh, well, I took two of the animals. I took two of the stronger ones. One's name is Tuglug, and the other one's name is Muffy. They're two strong animals. The other puppies seem to get car sick.
You know what? I don't even care what their names are. That's totally irrelevant.
I'm answering your question, and you're getting upset because I'm answering your questions good.
I'm sorry. You're right. Thank you for answering my question. However, as a logical person...
And Muffy's the pick of the litter, and that's why I brought her out so the kids could see that one. They're sheepdogs.
Splendid. How could you, as a logical person, think that parents should not and would not be upset that you would pull up in front of a playground in a van, dressed meticulously or not, grab a little girl by the hand because you are saying she was afraid of the puppies?
Whoa, what do you mean grab?
No. Okay, holding her hand and walking her across the street. She was a little girl. She does not know someone's going to hurt her. At that age, everyone's good.
Wait a minute, ma'am.
That there are bad people.
The news has been all over the place about the Elizabeth Smart girl and all of those poor kids. So the kid's been seeing the news. She knows what she's doing.
At 5 years old, she does not know what she's doing.
How does she know?
How could you possibly believe that a little girl is not going to look up to an adult who looks like a very smart, intelligent, well-dressed man? Why would she be afraid?
It's been all over the news.
Why would she think that you... It's fine. Parents shield their children from the harsh realities of the world we live in.
So these vigilantes...
Excuse me, may I finish? And then you can reply not interrupt you.
All right, but I'm the guy with two cracked ribs and a lacerated kidney. Thank you very much.
If I would have found you, you would have had more.
What crime did I commit?
You know what? If you would have walked up to my 5-year-old and taken her to show her something in a van and put her in a van... Would you like to see the puppies have a hang out the window? What kind of freaking stupid comment is that?
Wait a minute. You're not a dog owner. Obviously, you're not a dog. When dogs stick their faces out the window...
I know exactly what dogs do. What a kind of cockamamie story is that? And how in the world do you think it looks when you stick a sock in a child? Are you for real?
That's the thing that I'm going to say, Angela, is...
All right, I understand that, and the police questioned me at length about that. The kid was screaming.
Well, Dad,
how am I supposed to know that
I'm
scared?
Kill her.
No, wait a second. Wait a minute.
TV, you should be a maniac.
Wait a minute. She said she wanted to see the dogs. All right?
She wanted to see the dogs.
My 5-year-old doesn't want to see cute puppies. I'm 29. I love to see puppies.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am? What happened to the good old days when a kid could go for a ride with a stranger... Or you could give a child
Who
some candy.
Who let their kids go for a ride with a stranger?
What's that?
Who let their children ever go for rides with strangers unless you grew up in a little tiny town?
There was a time, young lady, in this country where you could get into the car with a stranger and go off and have some lunch. Now, all of a sudden, I got the crap kicked out of me.
What year are you living in?
Exactly. This is 2002, man. We got armored personnel carriers taking our kids to school now. We got rapists. We got muggers. We got every kind of animal out there.
And you're throwing me in with that group.
Well, sir, you didn't hurt the child.
There is not a person that puts a 5-year-old child in a van with a sock in her mouth and expects her to not scream and go crazy. So how would she not think that you were trying to hurt her?
Because kids are afraid of dogs. I thought she was afraid of the way the dogs looked when they put their fur. One of the things that looks weird when a sheepdog puts his face out the window on a freeway is the jowls flap up, and it'll scare the hell out of a kid.
Wait a minute. The kid is screaming because she sees the jowls on a sheepdog flapping up.
Well, let me tell you something. You guys can sit there and go, oh, my God. I got a boot to my groin. Thank you very much. I'll be singing soprano because some guy...
Do you not think that that is well-deserved? Do you not think that... Do you have any children?
Ma'am, I got a 9mm put in my ear because all I wanted to do was show some brat a dog.
Do you have children?
No, I do not.
Are you married?
No, I'm not. Look, and I
can't imagine why.
I was driving a 2002. Well, you can get in your little cuties all you want, but I was driving a 2002 Windstar. I had two rare breed dogs that breeders normally charge $600 a pup, and I was willing to lay it on one of these kids going up and down a slide. And what do I get for my trouble? My teeth kicked in. My groin kicked in.
You know, every time you tell me what happened to you, it gets worse.
Yeah, exactly what happened.
I sustained injuries to my kidney, two broken or cracked ribs, what the doctor told me, and I got a strangulated testicle.
From getting kicked in the groin?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you very much.
And I lost the sight in my right eye temporarily.
Oh, my
thank
God.
You. Yeah, well,
I mean, I cannot imagine that you think this is logical. What did anything flash through your mind that this little girl is screaming? I've been watching all of these things on television about children being murdered and taken from their families.
No, according to you,
and you think that this is okay?
According to you, she hasn't seen the news. That's what you just said to me. So, which is it?
Well, according to you, she has seen the news.
I'm asking that you have watched the news. You have seen this happen. And you think that this is okay? That a little girl is screaming, that you should not be scared to death? And worried about what's going on, that you think this could be okay?
Sometimes the kids think the doggy's going to bite.
So that's why she's screaming so loud.
No,
you
she's
shove a sock into her
because
mouth.
You have, yeah, exactly. You have pulled her into the van.
No, you don't get
misled her.
No, you don't get it. You don't get it.
I'm really sorry. Right, I'm an educated
Angela,
person. I do get most things. You
right.
don't get it.
I got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Robert Green, who was showing kids a puppy. He took a girl by the hand, put her in his van, drove up onto the freeway. She was screaming so loud he put a sock in her mouth and taped it shut, and then brought her back to the park saying all he wanted to do was show her a dog. And apparently two of the fathers set upon him and beat him up pretty good before the police showed up and arrested him. And he says that this is a new age of vigilante brutality, and he's the victim of it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
I'm not a pervert, and I wasn't trying to get kids. I was wearing a 3-piece suit. I had on a beautiful fedora. I was wearing wingtips. I had a neatly folded handkerchief in my pocket. I was wearing white gloves, and I had covered the wingtips with spats. I was very well dressed. Anybody to think that I would mean harm to those children, all I wanted them to do was see those puppies and come riding with me for a few minutes.
And in the process, put tape in a sock in a child's mouth. Here is Mike on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, yeah, this is Mike. I'd like to talk to Mr. Green. How old are you, Mr. Green?
I'm 38 years old.
You're 38 years old?
Yes, sir.
It has never been acceptable for kids to talk to strangers. I'm 34. It's never been acceptable for kids to talk to strangers, let alone get
wait
in a vehicle
wait
and a ride away with them.
I asked the kid, do you want to see a... I can't ask a question.
Just like when a child is 5 years old, do you expect them to know right from wrong? No, they don't. They don't know right from wrong. I got five kids at home, and there comes a point in their life when they become teenagers, yeah, they know what it is. My son don't watch the news.
Where do those fathers get off beating me up? I thought the sirens were coming to help me.
You got what you deserve. I would have done the same thing to you if you would have came up and done that to my kid.
You would have kicked me in the groin.
I would have kicked you there many times.
Oh, so you fight like a girl, huh?
It doesn't matter what you
want to
say.
Oh, well, whatever, man. I mean, the fact is, you had this father's girl, and he was probably petrified. Where's his daughter?
I took her. Do you guys listen to
me? It's imperative. You can't just take somebody's child. There's too many sickos in the world today.
Now, let me ask a question here.
Yeah, you might have been dressed up in a nice three-piece suit with gloves and everything on. That just might have been a cover-up. That child's probably lucky that you caught him. Why did I turn around and come back?
Why did I bring that child back if I meant her harm?
Because people saw you and got your tag number?
Nobody saw me. No one saw me. There were no adults around.
Yeah, you made sure of that. You were looking around to make sure there weren't any adults around.
You know something? Look, why do you all keep saying I took this child? She said, yes, I want to see the puppies. That's number one.
You cannot hold anybody under the age of 18. I took her back
when she was screaming.
Let alone talk to a 5-year-old.
And the reason why she wasn't wearing underwear is because she had wet herself and she was frightened of the dogs.
So now you're telling me you brought her back with no underwear on.
Oh, does that make me a pervert too?
Yeah, definitely.
You guys really need to get a clue.
We got to get a clue. Jim, you are the guy that needs to get a clue. We'll be right back. Thank you for your call, Mike. 1-800-449-8686. Oh, so now, no underwear, sock in the mouth, drove her around in a van just so she could see the puppies with their faces stuck out the window and she was screaming because the jowls were slapping their nose. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Why did this child have a haircut when you brought her back?
I took her over to my friend BT's house. You know, everything you said...
You took her over to your friend who?
BT Charles. He's a friend of mine.
You took her over to a friend's house to do what?
To get our picture taken together. Mr. Hendry, I would...
See, you know, there's nothing you can say to me now, Mr. Green. You took a child from a playground... Because you say she consented to see some puppies you had in your van. You took off in the van so she could see what the dogs look like when they stick their heads out the window on the freeway. Now you've got her over to a friend's house. You've given her a haircut, taken off her underwear, and had your picture taken with her. And you say you didn't do anything to this child.
I did absolutely nothing to that child. What I did have happen to me, and what you and the other members of the media keep glossing over, is that I had the living crap. I had 7 shades of crap kicked out of me. I had 2 cracked ribs, strangulated testicle, I lost the sight in my right eye, I had a lacerated kidney along with a lacerated scalp.
Can you blame any father who finds his daughter in a van with you with her underwear off for pounding hell out of you?
Excuse me, don't we have a constitution that says you're innocent until proven guilty?
Well, you know what? That's what the police have got to go by. That's when they Mirandize your ass, but a frightened, scared father...
Oh, so you endorse this. Let me be clear. A nationally syndicated talk show host endorses brutal vigilante violence. Thank you, Mr. Hendry. I'm going to put that down in my diary today.
Oh, okay, fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I will alert the media on your behalf.
Good. Go right ahead. Fine.
So you're not afraid?
No, I'm not afraid. Here is Wendy on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes. I was, you know, going down the road, and I come on to this program, and I heard him speaking about the puppies... car sick. I had to pull over because this man made me car sick. Just the way he was talking, like he was the victim. He is not the victim. The little girl that he took from the park and went and taped a sock in her mouth, and now she came back with no panties and cut hair. If something is not done with this man,
he is going to become another Westerfield. Wait a minute. I'm the guy. Who's Westerfield?
The guy down in San Diego.
Exactly.
Has he been convicted?
No, he hasn't.
So now both of you are guilty of slander.
And I pray that you will be convicted. I hope the book is thrown at you. I hope whoever the lawyers are for this little girl can find so much stuff to put on you that you will never get out of prison. I mean,
My children
should be afraid of you.
I had a $5,000 gold cap on my pimp suit.
I don't care what you wore. As far as what you wore, you sound like a pimp to me. Is that what you were going to do with this little girl? And you keep talking about what you were wearing
And in every other sentence, you've been talking about your groin area.
I was kicked in the groin directly.
Citizen, and you do not deserve to be on the streets. You deserve to be locked behind bars.
Excuse me.
And I hope when you are locked behind bars that the prison that you are in, the men find out what you have done, and you will get more than a kick in your groin. You will get more than bruised ribs.
Ma'am, I was wearing a pork pie hat with a three-piece
shirt. You sound like a pimp. I don't give a crap what you were wearing, and I can guarantee you, you will go to hell for doing this, because you did something more to that little girl.
It's nice to talk to God Almighty. It's great that
you
can guarantee what happened.
You did something more to that little girl.
I did not, and the police have checked out everything,
came
and
back,
I'm fine.
She is probably traumatized right now, and she probably cannot explain what happened to her. She's probably going to have years of counseling because of what you did to her.
Ma'am, I didn't do anything. And to
that
prove
is a load of crap. You did not take a five-year-old, go get her flipping haircut, shove a sock down her throat, bring her back with that underwear, and then try to explain to everybody, like we're idiots, that you did nothing to that little girl.
Look it.
That is a lie.
Well, I find it hard to believe, too.
For the rest of your life.
All right, and so I deserve, and I'm going to tell you right now, what I was wearing was worth more than your car.
I don't care
That's
what you're
right.
wearing.
Three-piece suit.
I don't care what you're wearing.
Hat with
you,
a white
you could have went down to Goodwill
specs,
and you could have got that outfit.
White gloves.
I donate stuff all the time to Goodwill that's, you know, worth more than your flipping shoes. Who cares what you were wearing? Who cares how much it costs? The fact is, you
well, here's
are not
why
the victim.
It's important. Here's
Nobody
why it's
cares
important.
What you were wearing. The little girl that you took and probably molested is the victim here. You are not the victim.
Mr. Hendry, if this woman refers to that, I will sue her. I will sue her, and I'll sue you, Mr. Hendry, if she's allowed to say these things one more
Let's
time.
Go.
Look at Val. You're wearing a pork pie hat. You got on a $5,000 suit.
Which one of the fathers pulled over my head, pulled the jacket over my head, locking my arms, and then started kneeing me in the face. So I've got a busted nose on top of that.
Well, my husband would like to actually take you for a ride in our van and see how you return back to the park.
Oh, he wants to play with me?
Is that what you
I'm
did
sure
with that
the,
little girl?
Your husband wants to play with
is
me.
Is that what you did with that little girl? I thought you just took her for a ride.
What's your husband want to go with a ride for me for?
Well,
you sound a little nervous,
Mr.
Green.
You took that little girl for a ride, and now
Ma'am.
I said that my husband wants to take you, and you said that my husband wants to play with you. Is that what you did with that little girl, Mr. Green?
I'd say that again. I didn't understand you.
Yeah, we know what you did with that little girl, Mr. Green.
About.
You don't
and
just
I can tell you this much.
To the park
I can
and pick
tell you, my attorney,
little girls
my attorney
and take them
will
for
be in touch
ride.
With you and in touch
if
with those fathers.
If you want to take girls for a ride, then I suggest you go and find girls that are over the age of 18
$5,000 gold cap off of my front too.
Like a predator searching for little girls that are in the park.
Well, you know an awful lot about it, don't you?
All right, look, I think the lady has made some fantastic points, and you must be a complete and utter imbecile not to understand how people...
You know, I've had enough of being called names.
Well, wait a minute. Not to understand how people would react to a man in a pork pie hat with a gold cap front tooth. Dude, you're in my neighborhood, man, and there's only one reason why you're there. The circus is in town.
He's a pimpin' predator is what he is.
A pimp? Pimps
a
don't drive Windstar vans.
Predator.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, ma'am. What?
Pimps don't drive Windstar vans. They drive Escalades.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Frank. Frank, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry
yes,
Show.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I tell you what. I raised 5 daughters and 3 sons.
Oh, here we go.
And I guarantee you one thing. If he so much as touched one of my babies.
What, is this Walter Brennan?
Huh?
Don't be a smartass, Mr. Green. Listen to this man.
He wouldn't need to worry about going anywhere because I'd blow his head off.
With what?
38, a 2.5, 2.30.
Well, you better be clear because you got to know how to load them first.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. I was in the Marine Corps, and I know how to load everything they ever had.
There you go, Frank.
Hey, listen. I had 4 inches of hair plugs lost because of that blow to my head.
Oh, you poor child. I wish they'd have done a good job on you, you son of a bitch.
What? Do you know how much hair plugs cost?
I don't give a damn.
That's
you queer bastard.
That's $4,000 in hair plugs.
Poor child. My ass bleeds for you when I ever earn you. You know what? I'm sorry that gentleman that kicked you in the groin and did everything didn't do a good job. I guarantee you, I'm 83 years old, and I do my best to kill you with my bare hands right
Why should we worry, Mr. Green, about your $4,000 gold cap front tooth?
Well, I tell you what, he wouldn't have any of them. He wouldn't have any of them left when I got through with.
There isn't a Mexican on the.
Okay.
You're a Mexican?
No, sir, I am not.
Where were you hatched?
Sir, I was hatched in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Poor Pennsylvania.
Well, if it's any.
They ought to have shot you a long time ago.
You know something? You shoot guys for showing kids dogs. And you must really hate guys in vests, because that's all I do wrong.
Hey, I've raised more dogs than you've ever petted.
I didn't say. You raised or married? Now,
no,
I
know.
That's
I'm not
really
like
funny.
You.
Yeah, that's funny.
You weren't right. Born, you were snatched up.
Snatched up?
Yeah, snatched out of some whore's belly.
Well, that's what they teach in the Marine Corps. That means my son will not.
That's all right. We had the F-bomb dropped.
Did you hear the filthy mouth on that old coot?
Well, I don't blame the guy. Here is Mia on the Phil Henry Show. Mia?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I've been listening, and I am appalled. I'm trying to figure out where he's calling from, because I would feel a whole lot safer if it
was inside
his jail.
Wait a minute. I didn't do anything wrong. The kid's fine. I didn't do nothing to her. I dropped her
back
off
at the park. You know what? She's not fine. If you took her away from her parents, she's not fine.
Wait a minute.
What would be fine is if your kind would be strapped down and beaten to a bloody pulp, and I am so glad that they kicked your ass. And if it was me, I would still be kicking your ass. I have two children, and if you ever came near them, it would take Jesus himself to come and take me off.
Where do you live, Mr. Green?
I live in Little Rock.
I'm in Little Rock.
Holy Jesus.
Whereabouts?
I don't feel like telling you.
I bet you don't. I bet you don't.
I live
on. Just tell me what parks you cruise in so I can stay the hell away from you.
Fifth and Main.
I work down there.
All right.
Mr. Green.
Fine.
Fine is right. And my husband will probably have your nasty pedophile ass on his caseload.
Your husband's a cop?
He's better than that. He's better
than
Superman?
That. I don't know what's better than a cop. He's Superman.
Are you being a smartass now?
You would think. And I'm trying to figure out why on earth. You keep saying you did nothing. You took her. First of all, that's kidnapping. That's a charge. For that, if you didn't do anything else, you kidnapped her.
I didn't do anything other than write Daddy's.
Did you ask her mother? Could she go?
Her mother wasn't around.
Did you ask her father?
I only took her for 10 minutes.
I don't care if you took her for one. It's kidnapping.
In your neighborhood, you must know this, a guy in a pork pie hat with a feather in it, that's class.
No, it's not on my side of town.
Not on your
side
of town?
It's tacky as hell on my side of town. And the only place that I could possibly think of it would ever be appropriate is in Detroit.
Hello? Well, see, she hung up. But I had on a suit coat with padded shoulders.
Okay. Good for you, man. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Talking about me, I'm suffering.
Well, how did you suffer?
When I pulled up, first of all, why did I bring the child back to the park? That's number one. I brought her back because I wasn't intending on taking her anywhere. Number two, I pulled up in that van and leapt out of the van with my fingers in my ears because the screaming was absolutely unreal. And that van hadn't even stopped rolling. I jumped out, rolled to the ground, thinking that the police were going to help me, and instead those vigilantes are there and beat the hell out of me, even though that screaming almost made my ears bleed.
Wait a minute. You brought the kid back to the park because she was screaming so loud your ears were bleeding.
Yes. That's what I've been trying to tell you.
1-800-449-8686. This is Lynn on the Phil Henry Show. Lynn, go ahead.
Mr. Green, I have no words to describe my contempt for you.
I can say is you are a lucky man that it wasn't me, a 5'3", 125-pound woman that pulled you over, and you're lucky to get out of there with your life.
Do you know
this is the message I am sending to you.
Do you know what happened to me?
All the parents and all the decent people in this world, your behavior is never going to be tolerated again. If this law and the Capitol Hill doesn't deal with you, we parents will. And that's exactly what happened to you on that highway.
I got this.
Man, and I do not care what you were wearing. I couldn't care less, but describing a small child who has been abducted by some pervert and screaming to the top of her lungs.
What did I do?
I'm surprised you're alive today, and in my opinion, you shouldn't be. And a lady called in earlier who was way nicer than I can ever be to you.
Wait a minute.
And the only thing I disagree with her with is that you should be put in prison. Oh, God, no, I don't think so.
Wait a second.
I do not want my and everybody else's taxpaying money providing life and air and food for you to breathe.
I had $600 puppies.
You deserve exactly what you did to that child and worse. It will not be tolerated. We have had it with you people.
I have $600 puppies that I was willing to give away.
I do not give a damn about your $600, your suit, or whatever else. Maybe you ought to get out of that van if you need attention and prance around for somebody to see you besides a small child. And if you don't think taking a child from a park, from their parents, without their permission is kidnapping, you have got another thing coming. You are a sick man.
Amen, Lynn. Amen.
Look, I had just
kind of want laws changed so we do not have to deal with the sights and sounds of you ever again, and we do not want to pay for your upkeep. We want you eliminated.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
When you said amen, is that you're just encouraging her, right?
I agree with this woman.
Not encouraging her.
I had just had a facial.
And you go ahead and call your attorneys, and you call Capitol Hill if you want to, because you know what? I'll meet you there with more people than you could ever imagine.
All right, I have another question then. You sound a little shaky. What are you sitting on?
Ha ha! You want to make a joke out of this? She's angry.
I am furious. The rage that is going through me right now cannot even be described.
Who reimburses
me? There is nothing on the news anymore except stuff about people like you. These poor innocent children don't deserve to ever come in contact with anyone like you.
Who reimburses me for the
facial?
And
I'd like to know where you get off feeling like you're victimized when you take a child and you pick them up and take them from their place of play or their homes or anywhere else.
It was a puppy.
I do not care.
Ma'am, when I'm angry, I don't sound like I'm sitting on the back of a Harley Davidson. No, I'm saying...
Will you knock it off with your smart-ass remarks?
I'm saying that I had had a $300 facial. Those guys beat me up and ruined the mask.
I'm sorry they didn't finish the job. I don't care about your face. I don't care about your teeth. I don't care about you. None of us do. Don't you get the point?
Well, I guess I better be going then.
Yeah, no, I guess you better be going.
Go to hell for all work here.
Come on, Phil. Tell her I don't exist.
Why did you do that?
Tell her that I'm a voice that you're doing.
Lynn?
Yes?
I'm actually doing his voice.
Yeah, but I'm the one that takes all the heat.
All right. He doesn't exist, Lynn. I'm doing his voice.
There are too many of them out there that aren't just voices.
This is true. This is very true.
And we've had it.
And go ahead and tell her how you're satirizing it and therefore bringing out the point that it should be prevented. Yeah, go ahead and tell her
it needs to be out there.
It is. That's why we do it.
Yeah. Lynn, are you still mad?
I am furious.
But I don't exist.
I am furious with all the news that I have seen about children being picked up and abducted and abused.
Yes.
It is ridiculous. It is it's just crazy.
Well, it's something that has to stop.
Yeah, you tell her, Phil.
Shut up!
There need to be laws to protect the victims and not make them further victims of the crime. We need to stop tolerating this craziness on our children.
Well, I totally agree with you, ma'am. I totally agree with you.
Are you at the state prison visiting somebody?
All right. Thank you very much, Lynn. I think you made some... What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? You're doing my voice.
All right. I'm doing his voice. I did some other work last week in addition to my radio show, and somebody said to me, somebody said you used to be a ventriloquist. I said, no. Well, where'd they hear that? That's the radio press. That's the proficient radio press. They say I used to be a ventriloquist. I don't do that. I just do characters. And that guy was one of them, and no kid was abducted. And
what a pussy.
All right. But if you'd like to know more about our show, go to philhenryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And you can check out all the things that we do. All of our audio comedy, all of the stuff on our show is archived in our audio archives and also in our 30-day archives. So all of the shows going back 30 days you can listen to. And don't miss our souvenir shop. Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, and the best of the Phil Henry Show CDs.